సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకూర్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ్, అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి జయ్, నామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి జయ్, ప్రేమ్ సి కహో జయ్ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాదార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి జయ్, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపీనాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిరాజు గోవర్ధన్ కి జయ్, గంగామాయి యమునామాయి కి జయ్, భక్తిదేవి తులసీదేవి కి జయ్, గ్రంథరా శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి జయ్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేష్వ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీర్ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 12 చాప్టర్ 10 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద సింప్టమ్స్ ఆఫ్ కలియుగ. టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 10. శీతవాతాతపప్రావృద్ హిమైరన్యోన్యత ప్రజా క్షుద్రిభ్యాం వ్యాధిభిశ్చైవ సంతప్స్యంతే చ చింతయా. శీతవాతాతపప్రావృద్ హిమైరన్యోన్యత ప్రజా క్షుద్రిభ్యాం వ్యాధిభిశ్చైవ సంతప్స్యంతే చ చింతయా. శీతవాతాతపప్రావృడ్ హిమైరన్యోన్యత ప్రజా క్షుత్రిభ్యాం వ్యాధిభిశ్చైవ సంతప్స్యంతే చ చింతయా. శీతవాతాతపప్రావృద్ హిమైరన్యోన్యత ప్రజా Thank you. word to word translation. Shita by cold, Vata wind, Atapa the heat of the sun, Pravrit torrential rain, Himai and snow, Anyonyata by quarrel, Praja the citizens, Kshut by hunger, Tridbyam and thirst, Vyadibi by diseases, Cha also, Eva indeed, Santapsyante they will suffer great distress, Cha and Chintaya by anxiety. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the citizens will suffer greatly from cold, wind, heat, rain and snow. They will be further tormented by quarrels, hunger, thirst, disease and severe anxiety. Text number 11. Trimshad vimshati varshani paramayuk kalau nrinam. The maximum duration of life for human beings in Kali Yuga will become 50 years. Text number 12 to 16. Kshiyamaneshu deheshu dehinam kali doshatah varnashramavatam dharme nashte vedapate nrinam pashanda prachure dharme dasyu prayeshu rajasu chauryan ritavrita himsa nana vrittishu vaindrishu shudra prayeshu varneshu chaga prayasu denushu griha prayeshu ashrameshu yauna prayeshu bandushu anupraya saushadishu shami prayeshu stashnushu vidyut prayeshu megeshu shunya prayeshu sadmasu ittam kalau gata praye janeshu kara dharmishu dharmatranaya sattvena bhagavanavatarishyati. Translation: by the time the age of Kali ends, the bodies of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size, and the religious principles of the followers of Varnashram will be ruined. The path of the Vedas will be completely forgotten in human society, and the so-called religion will be mostly atheistic. The kings will mostly be thieves. The occupations of men will be stealing, lying, and needless violence. And all the social classes will be reduced to the lowest level of Shudras. Cows will be like goats. Spiritual hermitages will be no different from mundane houses. And family ties will extend no further than the immediate bonds of marriage. Most plants and herbs will be tiny, and all the trees will appear like dwarf shami trees. Clouds will be full of lightning. Homes will be devoid of piety, and all human beings will have become like asses. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on the earth. Acting with the power of pure spiritual goodness, He will rescue the eternal religion. Purport: Significantly, these verses point out that most so-called religions in this age will be atheistic. Pashanda prachura dharme. In confirmation of the Bhagavatam's prediction, the United States Supreme Court has recently ruled that to be considered a religion, a system of belief need not recognize a supreme being. Also, many atheistic, voidistic belief systems, often imported from the Orient, have attracted the attention of modern atheistic scientists, who expound on the similarities between Eastern and Western voidism in fashionable esoteric books. These verses vividly describe many unsavory symptoms of the age of Kali. Ultimately, at the end of this age, Lord Krishna will descend as Kalki and remove the thoroughly demoniac persons from the face of the earth. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminyiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are discussing in great detail the symptoms of Kali Yuga. That the title of the chapter, and also in the present verses, the last few days, last 1 week or so, we have been discussing the different faults of Kali Yuga. Some of these faults of Kali Yuga are, you can say, they are already visible. And some of these will become more prominent and will be seen in a majority way as the Kali Yuga progresses. So we see that in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are asking 6 questions to Suta Goswami. They ask that, Tatra tatranjasa yushman bhavata yad vinishchitam pumsam ekantata shreyas tanna samshitu marhasi. O long-lived sage, that please tell what is the ultimate good. Shreya means there is nothing higher than that. Please tell us, in easily understandable terms, anjasa, and ekantata, in a thorough way, in a complete way, shreya, what is the highest object for a humankind? That means, what is the highest goal, and what is the highest sadhana to achieve that goal? So shreya means, there is nothing which is higher than that. Please tell us the highest object for mankind, but in an easily understandable way, and in a thorough way, ekantata. We don't want to miss out anything. We want to understand in a thorough way, and an easily understandable way, and also the highest thing. So sometimes, something which is highest, somebody may explain in a difficult way, or somebody may explain not in a complete way, only some part of it, or somebody may explain something in a very easily understandable way, but it may not be the highest thing. But here the sages, they don't want to keep any loophole in their question. Therefore, they are asking that, please tell us the highest goal, but in an easily understandable way and also in a complete way, which you have discerned after studying all the shastras. Bhavatam yad vinishchitam. Then Sutta Goswami tells the sages, no, let me tell you all the paths and all the goals which are mentioned in the Shastra, and you hear all the subject matters, and then you decide what is the highest thing. So expecting that Sutta Goswami may have such a thought process, and Sutta Goswami might start speaking all the subject matters which are mentioned in the Shastra, then in the next verse, the sages actually tell that, no, we don't want to hear all the subject matters. We particularly want to hear what is the highest thing. Because the reason is, the people of Kali Yuga have got so many limitations. And then they tell that, Prayena alpayusha sabya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrata. So they mentioned different limitations of the people of Kali Yuga. So prayena alpayusha sabya, in Kali Yuga people generally have a short lifespan. And somehow if they happen to have a long lifespan, but they don't have the enthusiasm to inquire about spiritual subject matters. Somebody may have a long lifespan, they may live for 75, 80, 85. But they are lazy to inquire about spiritual subject matters. And suppose somebody has a long lifespan, but one is also inquisitive to understand spiritual subject matters, but many people don't have the intelligence to discriminate between what is right and wrong. Manda sumanda matayo. Sumanda matayo means they are unintelligent. But suppose if somebody has a long lifespan and they are also not lazy and they also have the proper intelligence to discriminate, but most people, they don't have the fortune of having the good association of bona fide sadhus. Because many people get carried away by different apasampradayas or some kind of deviant sadhus who speak in a flowery way. And if suppose somebody has a long lifespan and has enthusiasm to inquire about spiritual subject matters, one also has the intelligence and one also has the association of bona fide devotees of the Lord, but at the time of the association they are afflicted with different bodily problems. They are afflicted with different sickness and other problems, and they are unable to take advantage of that association. Or one may not get the time to hear from the devotees. We find that there are people who come in contact with, say, bona fide devotees, but they are so occupied with their work schedule is so tight, or sometimes people have different bodily sickness, and they are not able to take advantage of the association. And even if a person hears from the devotees, but many times one may not be able to discern the highest goal, and one is not able to put those instructions into practice to attain that highest goal. So therefore the sages, foreseeing all these disqualifications of people in Kali Yuga, therefore they asked the highest, please tell us the highest goal in a easily understandable way, in a thorough way. So therefore, in general, in Kali Yuga, we cannot actually keep the essence far away from the people for a long time. There are different ways to connect with the people. There are indirect preaching, bridge preaching, etc. But at the same time, the very nature of Kali Yuga is such that we cannot keep the essence far away from the person. One thing which people in Kali Yuga are very averse to is that when you have a very authoritative tone, when you have a very instructive tone, that is something which people are averse to. But we may not use that authoritative tone or instructive tone, but at the same time we cannot keep the essence far away. So we may have to present the essence, but without the authoritative tone which may pinch their false ego. Because that is what we find the mood in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada says in one purport that Kali Yuga is a royal edition of animals. That predominantly, like as Kali Yuga progresses, people become more and more animalistic, but it is presented in such a way that it becomes a royal edition of the animals. Actually, the media and the different academia, they are so expert. From the point of view of the scriptures, Kali Yuga is the most degraded age. But it is presented in such a way that the most degraded age is actually presented as we are in the highest advancement, we are technologically so much advanced, and we present the degradation as the advancement. As Krishna says in the Gita that adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasa vrita sarvartan viparitamsha buddhisa partha tamasi. One considers adharma to be dharma and dharma to be adharma, and that is the sign of intelligence in the mode of ignorance. And Kali Yuga is like a mental asylum which is taken over by the inmates. When a mental asylum is run by the inmates of the mental asylum, you can imagine like what will be the condition of that. Or Prahlad Maharaj puts the same thing in another way, that blind men led by other blind men. Or in Kali Yuga is an age, like people go through so much of depression, but in Kali Yuga one is unable to express the depression also. Just like when a fish is crying, nobody will come to know that fish is crying, because you cannot distinguish between the tears of the fish and the water in the river. So similarly, people in Kali Yuga are so miserable that they cannot even express that misery to others. Because of that, others are not able to actually, they are not able to discern whether the people are miserable or they are happy actually. And we can see, like one devotee was sharing that he was going in a train and somebody was wearing a t-shirt. It was said like, save water. It was printed in that. So he said, oh, what a noble thought the person is with. And then after some time the person turned and it was written that drink beer. So Kali Yuga, even the so-called noble thoughts or philanthropy, it is mixed with many adharmic concepts. And So Kaliyuga is an age where is age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So generally when we are together, we end up quarreling, and when we are alone, we tend to act hypocritically. So therefore, in Kaliyuga, we are expected to perform japa and also sankirtan. When we are alone, we perform japa, or we perform our sadhana, or studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we are together, we perform sankirtan. So, going ahead, so let us see some points from how Parishit Maharaj dealt with Kali Yuga. So in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parishit Maharaj was inspecting his kingdom, he was hearing the unpleasant news that Kali had entered. So he took up his bow and arrow to deal with Kali. Actually, Prabhupada says that it was an unpleasant news, at the same time it was a pleasant news for, at the same time it was a pleasant news. It was an unpleasant news that Kali had entered, but it was a pleasant news because Parishit Maharaj, as a Kshatriya, he got an opportunity to fight. Because for a Kshatriya to get an opportunity to fight with the people who are in the Adharma, that is something which is a happy opportunity for the Kshatriyas. So even in that unpleasant news, there is some, that is why we say the material world is a place of duality. It was an unpleasant news, at the same time it was a pleasant news because he got an opportunity to fight with Kali. So he took up his bow and arrow to deal with Kali. So Prabhupada actually writes a brilliant purport there, which is actually important to highlight. He says that sometimes people think that, so in Kali Yuga, everything is going to degrade. It is predestined that all these degradation will happen in Kali Yuga. So then, why should we prepare ourselves to fight such symptoms? And then Prabhupada says that, but such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. Because here is an example of Parishit Maharaj. He knew that Kali Yuga is going to degrade, that such symptoms will happen. But still he put effort. As a king, it was his duty to fight the symptoms of Kali Yuga. So just like in a rainy season, rain is predestined. But we have the choice to actually hold the umbrella. That choice is actually within ourselves. We have the choice to protect ourselves from rain by holding the umbrella. So similarly, Kali Yuga will definitely progress. You cannot change Kali Yuga into Satya Yuga, or for that matter into Treta Yuga or Dwapara Yuga. You cannot change. But what is within your hand is that you can change Kali Yuga into Satya Yuga within the 2-acre land which you are residing. You can change Kali Yuga into Dwapara Yuga or Treta Yuga within the 800 square meter which you are actually, within the flat which you are residing, by following the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. We can do our part as the followers of Sanatana Dharma, that how we can teach people how we can change Kali Yuga into, at least into Dwapara Yuga, or into Treta Yuga, or into Satya Yuga, by following the principles of Dharma. So therefore, thinking that, oh, we can change the whole world, Kali Yuga into Satya Yuga, and with that attempt, when we put efforts, and we can't do that because Kali Yuga is predestined. At the same time, because everything is predestined, oh, let me not put any effort. Let me not put any effort to actually help others, and that is going into another extreme. So therefore, when we talk about the principle of destiny, The destiny should not actually make us callous about our responsibility. Like Vasudeva speaking to Kamsa, that everyone is destined to die, and Kamsa was about to kill Devaki. Vasudeva told Kamsa that everyone is destined to die. But he could have used the same philosophy to think that, oh, Devaki is anyway destined to die in the hands of Kamsa, so let me not do anything. He could have thought like that. No, rather, but Vasudeva did not think like that. So he used that philosophy of destiny to tell Kamsa that even if you kill Devaki, then you are destined to die. Your death will come through some other means. So why do you want to perform this sin of killing your sister and further entangling yourself in the karmic cycle? So therefore, Vasudeva was using the philosophy of destiny to perform his duty of protecting his wife and to help Kamsa from avoiding the sin. So therefore, the philosophy of destiny should make us more responsible in our duty and not to escape from our duties. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, he knew that Kali Yuga symptoms will come, but nevertheless, as a king, he wanted to perform his duty to fight against the symptoms of Kali Yuga. If you see the example of Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra was told by different people that you are not destined to become the king. You are not destined to become the king, and your sons are also not destined to become the king. But just because he cannot become the king, that did not mean that he cannot grow in his life. If somebody is not destined to become the prime minister, that does not mean that he cannot contribute anything in the political field. He can become, maybe he can try for chief minister, he can try for some municipal leader, or he can try for some mayor. So Dhritarashtra's attitude was that, Dhritarashtra and his sons, they only wanted to become the king. So instead of using his Purusharta to grow in his life, but he used his Purusharta to completely to change his destiny. No, still I want to somehow or other to become the king. So that was the Dhritarashtra's attitude. So that is like trying to think that, we can change Kali Yuga into Satya Yuga. No, you cannot change Kali Yuga into Satya Yuga, but we can put your effort to actually bring Satya Yuga within a particular community or within a particular place. So, and that effort should go on. And also, going ahead from Parikshit Maharaj's attitude towards Kali Yuga, in this Bhagavatam, I think there's a very beautiful verse, few days back, different speakers also quoted this. Nanu dveshti kalim samrat saranga iva sarabuk kushalani ashu siddhyanti netarani kritaniyat. So Parikshit Maharaj was a realist, or he was an essence seeker. So he knew perfectly well that in this age of Kali, auspicious things produce good effects immediately, whereas inauspicious things must be actually performed. So he was never envious of the personality of Kali. So actually, you see, Parikshit Maharaj, we can see the mood of a Uttam Adhikari devotee. A Uttam Adhikari devotee is one who is free from the propensity to find fault in others. Because here in the case of Kali, it is mentioned that Kaler Dosha Nide Rajan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But in an ocean of faults, but still to focus on the good quality of Kali Yuga, you really have to be free from the propensity to find fault in others. So that is the consciousness or the attitude of a Uttam Adhikari devotee, to focus on the, say, so it's to, suppose the 5 kilo gold is there and surrounding that some dirt is there. It is easy to focus on that, but suppose there are like few grams of gold, but surrounding that there is a mountain of dirt. So that requires a very fine to focus on that gold. You need to have a very fine vision. Oh, there is a gold there. So similarly, when there is an ocean of faults, but still to focus on the good quality of Kali Yuga, you really need to have a Uttam Adhikari attitude. So Parikshit Maharaj had that attitude. Therefore Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj, being the most learned and experienced king, was not unnecessarily envious of the personality of Kali, because he did not intend to give him any chance to perform any sinful act. And he protected his subjects from falling prey to the sinful effects of the age of Kali. So Parikshit Maharaj, he had that quality of focusing on the essence. At the same time, Parikshit Maharaj also had the quality of a Madhyam Adhikari. A Madhyam Adhikari's attitude is actually discrimination. Because Parikshit Maharaj did not give a free space to actually for Kali to reside in any place in his kingdom. Because Parikshit Maharaj said that, no, you can stay only in these 4 places. And then on further request by Kali, he gave one more place where there is an excessive hoarding of gold. So Parikshit Maharaj, he also had the discrimination that he gave only very selective places. Just because he focused on the good quality of Kali Yuga, that did not mean that he gave a free hand to Kali. He gave only select places. In fact, why he gave the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj was about to punish Kali, then Kali surrendered to Parikshit. So then Parikshit Maharaj decided to give shelter to Kali. So why he decided to give shelter was that because one of the dharma of a Kshatriya is that he should give protection to the person who is surrendered. In fact, this principle comes many places in the Shastra, because one of the highest dharma for a Kshatriya is to give shelter to the sharana, the person who has surrendered. One of the main reason why Lord Ram was angry with Vali was that because Vali did not give shelter to Sugriva, who surrendered to Vali. And Vali came back from the forest, and Sugriva was appointed as the king, and Sugriva actually surrendered to Vali that it's not my mistake and please forgive me. They only appointed me. We thought that you actually, you have been killed by that demon. He surrendered to Vali, but still Vali actually tried to kill Sugriva. So that was the main thing which actually, which angered Lord Ram. Therefore Lord Ram wanted to kill Vali. So therefore that is why the whole Hastinapur assembly was called as Asad Sabha. Because when a helpless person was not given shelter, so then the whole assembly becomes contaminated with the sin. So that is why even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Jaya Vijaya episode, Lord Vishnu tells to the 4 Kumaras, he says that cows, brahmanas and the defenseless scriptures, they represent my body. They represent my body. That means that one has to give shelter to these personalities. So therefore, Kali Yuga, Parikshit Maharaj thought that this Kali has surrendered to me. If I don't give shelter to him, if I kill this Kali, then because of killing a surrendered person, irreligion which has just appeared, it will spread more. And he will, because of killing a surrendered person, even if I might have killed Kali, but then that Kali will enter into me, because killing a surrendered person is a great adharma. And in fact, the irreligion will spread even more. So therefore, I should not kill Kali. Therefore, I must give some places for Kali to reside. At the same time, I cannot give a free hand. So we can see the mood of a Uttam Adhikari and the Madhyam Adhikari. Parishit Maharaj focused on the essence of Kali. At the same time, he had a fine discrimination. He gave only select places for Kali to actually reside. And like, I'll give some more examples on this theme. If we see, like in our dealings also, there are certain instances where we have to just focus on the good quality. We have to like adopt the mood of a Uttam Adhikari. We have to overlook the faults and focus on the good qualities. And certain instances where we have to actually analyze, we have to do some critical thinking. If it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his conversation with Chand Ghazi, he critically analyzed. He said that, oh, your scriptures are filled with mistakes and illusions. So we can see his Madhyam Adhikari attitude there. He clearly analyzed that your religion is a religion of patricide and matricide, which promotes the killing of a mother and father. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was dealing with the Buddhists on the South Indian tour, he used this logic to defeat all the arguments of the Buddhists. So again we can see his Madhyam Adhikari, of course Uttam Adhikari also has that attitude, because Shastre Yuktavucha Nipunav. This is also one of the quality of Uttam Adhikari. Uttam Adhikari is expert in the logic based on the Shastra. But I am talking about this quality of Uttam Adhikari mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction, that is being free from the propensity to find fault in others. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, towards the Buddhists, he actually used the critical thinking. By using his logic, he defeated the Buddhists. And on the other hand, there are other instances where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just focused on the essence. In his dealings with the old Orissa lady, that there was an old Orissa lady, out of her enthusiasm to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, she climbed on the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She put one leg on Garuda and another leg on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and completely oblivious to the fact that she was putting her leg on Garuda and Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu's servant Govinda immediately brought that old lady down, and he chastised that old Orissa lady. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Govinda, so you are acting like an uncivilized person. You are behaving like an Adivasi. Like, this old Orissa lady, she is having such an enthusiasm to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. I don't even have a drop of enthusiasm like this particular lady. If I can get a drop of enthusiasm like this Orissa lady, my life is perfect. So something to that effect Mahaprabhu said. So Mahaprabhu, like we can see the Uttam Adhikari mood of focusing on the essence, he actually chastised Govinda. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he was dealing with, there is a book called as Beyond Illusion and Doubt, where disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they are actually speaking the different Western philosophers, and Prabhupada exactly pinpoints, okay, this Western philosopher right in this respect, but here he is completely wrong. So Prabhupada actually completely defeats the points out the very critically analyzes the good points and the limitations of the different philosophies. So we can see that critical thinking and the analysis of Prabhupada there. At the same time, Prabhupada, there was one devotee who had different difficulties in following the different principles, and he came to Prabhupada and he spoke for a long time expressing the different difficulties and telling in great detail how he couldn't follow certain principles. And then Prabhupada, after the devotee left, there were some other devotees who were also hearing that, and they were just thinking like, what Prabhupada is going to say. And Prabhupada said that, just look at this devotee, how much he is struggling for Krishna. So even, although the devotee told about how in great detail how he broke different principles, but even in that Prabhupada actually focused on the sincerity of that person, how much he is struggling for Krishna. So in that way, we can see that, like within the family of the devotees, within the interpersonal dealings, many times we have to overlook the faults and limitations, we have to focus on the good qualities. But at the same time, there is a critical thinking that also has a role when it comes to management or when it comes to philosophical dialogue. So we have to use our critical thinking and discrimination. So sometimes, say, there's one example where there is a critical thinking was supposed to be used, but it was not used. We can see, so this pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there was a Brahmana who wrote some poem glorifying Lord Jagannath. And then when he actually wrote that poem and he read out that poem to the devotees, so all the devotees, they started applauding that, oh, what a poem. They all actually became, they started glorifying that Brahmana. And then, but then Swarup Damodar Goswami became so angry, and then he stopped all the devotees, and then he pointed out the flaws in that poem, and he said that how this poem, there is a Mayavad philosophy in this poem. Because he is comparing Jagannath's body to be material. There is a Mayavad philosophy in that poem, and he immediately, Swarup Damodar Goswami pointed out that. Oh, then the devotees became cautious. So here, the devotees, they were supposed, they should have used their critical thinking, or they should have seen the poem from the Siddhanta point of view. Is it right according to the Siddhanta? But instead of seeing that, they got carried away by the external, maybe the flowery phrases or the flowery language of the poem, and they overlooked the whether the poem is actually according to the Siddhanta or not. So therefore, that when we are supposed to use critical thinking, when we don't use that is because of sentimentalism. That is because of sentimentalism. And at the same time, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he analyzed how there is a serious mistake in this poem. But at the same time, later, the same Swarup Damodar Goswami, being sensitive, at the same time, he actually told that Brahmana to correct that poem, and then he accommodated Brahmana in another way. That after correcting that poem, I think he presented to Mahaprabhu, or he engaged that Brahmana in another way in serving the Lord. So in that way, there is the mood of when we fail to use the critical thinking where it's supposed to be used, then we become sentimental, like the and also in this episode, we see that sometimes the system of democracy cannot be applied to certain things. So here, we see from a democratic point of view, all the devotees appreciated that poem. But then Swarup Damodar Goswami pointed out the serious flaw in that. సో డెమోక్రసీ కెనాట్ బి అప్లై టు శాస్త్రిక్ ఇష్యూస్. డెమోక్రసీ కెనాట్ బి అప్లై టు శాస్త్రిక్ ఇష్యూస్ దట్ వెదర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ద సిద్ధాంత ఆర్ నాట్ యూ కెనాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ డెమోక్రటిక్ ఓట్. Suppose Jiva fell from the spiritual world or not, you cannot have a democratic vote. You have to see from the Shastric point of view. So therefore, because system of democracy has its own limitations, so when we are using a particular tool, we also have to understand the limitations of that particular tool. So, another example, where one is supposed to focus on the essence, but where a person ended up using more critical and ended up actually finding fault in others. We can see the example of Daksha Prajapati. So Daksha Prajapati, instead of focusing on the good qualities of Lord Shiva and Narada Muni, he actually ended up finding fault in them. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Lord Shiva is described as the Ati Sadhutama, Ati Mahattama. He is the topmost among the saintly persons. Ati Mahattama, Ati Sadhutama are those personalities who see good qualities in others where there are no good qualities. So that is the caliber, that is the level of the Ati Sadhutama, and Lord Shiva was on that platform. But in such a personality, Daksha Prajapati saw only the faults. So therefore he is described as the Ati Asadhutama. So Daksha Prajapati said that Lord Shiva lives in filthy places like crematoriums, and his companions are the ghosts and demons, and he is naked like a madman. He is sometimes laughing, sometimes crying. He smears crematorium ashes all over his body. He does not bathe regularly, and he ornaments his body with a garland of skulls and bones. Therefore, he is Shiva only in name. Only by name he is called as Shiva or auspicious. But actually he is the most inauspicious person. So Daksha Prajapati, he found only faults in the Ati Sadhutama, Ati Mahattama person, Lord Shiva. So therefore Prabhupada says in a purport, Daksha is the incarnation of the offenses. Because he found only faults in Lord Shiva. He is the incarnation of the offenses. And the same Daksha Prajapati, like in the case of Narada Muni, in one purport, when Narada Muni inspired the Daksha Prajapati's sons, Hariyashwas and Savalashwas, in the path of Bhagavad Dharma by following the path of renunciation, so Daksha Prajapati became so angry and he said that Aho asado sadunam sadhu lingena nastvaya asad akari arbakanam bikshor marga pradarshitaha. So Daksha Prajapati said that, O Narada Muni, you wear the dress of a saintly person, but you are not actually a saint. But I myself, although I am in a grihastha life, but I am a saintly person. But you have showed me the path of renunciation to my sons, by that you have done me an abominable injustice. So Prabhupada says that Daksha Prajapati was certainly a sadhu. Because in the sense that he followed whatever the prescribed duties of a grihastha, the prescribed duties of a Prajapati perfectly. Definitely he performed great austerities, and then he offered the Hamsa Guhya prayers, and then the Lord appeared. He perfectly performed the duty of a father by sending his sons to perform austerity before actually asking them to beget children. even though his first set of sons became renunciants, but still that did not discourage Daksha Prajapati to send his next set of sons again to the same place for performing austerities. In that way, Daksha Prajapati, he performed his duty perfectly. In that sense, he was certainly a sadhu. But the fault of Daksha is that he had a fault-finding mentality. He had a fault-finding mentality. Because of that, he could not appreciate the service of Narada Muni. He thought that the service of creation is the only service. So Narada Muni was performing another service. In that nonsense, Daksha and Narada both are actually servants of the Lord. So Daksha's service was the service of creation, and Narada Muni's service was that to guide the people in the creation towards the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. To take up the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. So Narada Muni was performing that service, but Daksha Prajapati could not appreciate the service of Narada Muni. He thought that his service is the only service, and therefore Daksha Prajapati accused Narada of being asadhu. So he should have focused that, oh, Narada is also rendering service to my same Supreme Lord. And Narada Muni is performing the very purpose of creation. The very purpose of creation is that to give an opportunity for a living entity to exercise their free will so that they can engage in devotional service and perfect their life. So Narada Muni was performing that service. The Daksha Prajapati could not actually appreciate that service of Narada Muni. So therefore, different people are engaged in different services, but when a person thinks that, oh, this is the only service, then one's vision becomes narrow. Like, for example, the other day we were sharing that, like, Prabhupada said that ISKCON is my body. So that means serving the ISKCON is service to Srila Prabhupada. His service to the pure devotees, it's actually service to Srila Prabhupada. But if we think that service to ISKCON is the only service to Srila Prabhupada, then our vision can become narrow. Because ISKCON is the body of Srila Prabhupada, that means serving ISKCON is like the, it is like a deity worship, it is serving the vapu of a pure devotee. But at the same time, if we say deity worship is the only service, there are others who are also serving Krishna, but not engaging in deity worship, we may fail to appreciate them. So if we say serving the institution is the only service to Srila Prabhupada, whereas others who may be serving Srila Prabhupada by following the principles of the institution for which the institution is created, but may not be accepting the formal role, then our vision, if we fail to appreciate them, our vision can become narrow. So in one sense, Daksha Prajapati had that attitude. He thought that the creation is the only service. He could not appreciate the service of Narada Muni. So therefore, we can see that Daksha Prajapati, he instead of appreciating the service of Narada Muni, he used his critical thinking to actually find faults in Narada Muni. He spoke some 7 or 8 verses how Narada Muni had done a great injustice. So in this way we can see this another example. And then lastly, I will conclude this verse from the Narayana Kavacha. So in the Narayana Kavacha mantra, there's a beautiful prayer which says that Dvaipayano Bhagavan Aprabodad Buddhastu Pashanda Ganapramadad Kalki Kale Kala Malad Prapatu Dharmayana Yoru Kritavatara. So may the personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Vyasadeva protect me from all kinds of ignorance resulting from the absence of Vedic knowledge. May Lord Buddha Deva protect me from the activities opposed to the Vedic principles and from laziness that causes one to madly forget the Vedic principles of knowledge and the ritualistic action. And may Kalki Dev, who appeared as an incarnation to protect religious principles, protect me from the dirt of the age of Kali. So this is a prayer in which this prayer is offered to Vyasadev. Because Vyasadev's position is so unique, like Vyasadev is such a person that he is accepted by all the sampradayas. All the four Vaishnava sampradayas, even the Advaita sampradaya, all the sampradaya, they accept Vyasadev. In fact, it is said that Vyaso Chishtam Jagat Sarvam. Everything in this world is nothing but the remnants of Vyasadev. Because all the knowledge can be traced back from the Vyasadeva's literature. So Vyasadeva has a universal acceptability. At the same time, the same Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins with the point that Dharma Projita Kaita Votra. That means Bhagavatam kicks out all the cheating religions. So Bhagavatam is, in one sense, highly specific. It's only focused on the Bhagavad Dharma. So, in that sense, Vyasadeva's glory is that he has a universal acceptability. At the same time, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, which is purely Bhagavad Dharma, which is unadulterated Vaishnavism. So, generally, we see that somebody who has a universal acceptability, one may not declare one's specific loyalty to a particular path. And sometimes those who follow a particular specific path, and they all the time speak about a specific path, and they don't have a broader acceptability. For a broader mass of people, they appear to be very narrow-minded. But Vyasadeva's character is so special that he has a universal acceptability. At the same time, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, which is only focused on Bhagavad Dharma. Of course, that Bhagavad Dharma is actually universal. In fact, that is also, we can see the Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavad Dharma, because Bhagavad Dharma, although it appears very specific, but because Bhagavad Dharma is the Dharma of the soul, and it is actually universal. Therefore, the actual essence is something which is universal and also specific. But people think that if something has to be universal, it cannot be specific. And if something is specific, it cannot be universal. But the true essence is something which is universal, at the same time which is very specific. And that is the nature of Bhagavad Dharma. And also in this verse, the prayers to Buddha is offered. Buddha actually appeared to protect the Vedic principles when the Vedic principles were misused by the so-called Brahmanas. And also there's a prayer offered to Kalki, who will protect the people from the dirt of the age of Kali. And especially for the age of Kali, there are two things which we have to take shelter from to protect ourselves from the age of Kali. That is the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Krishna Sodamo Pagate Dharma Jnanadibhisaha Kalau Nashta Drishamesha Puranarko Adunoditaha. And these are the two weapons which have been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to protect ourselves from Kali Yuga. So with this I'll stop my class. Prantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.